So my first guest of the afternoon is on the line. He's Simi Allen. He is of United Hatzalah. He is their spokesperson. We're going to be talking about the current situation in Israel. As always, Simi Allen, thank you so much for being with us on Chai FM. Simi, are you with me? Have we lost you?
No, I'm here. I'm sorry. Thank you for having me. I'm sorry for that. Good afternoon.
Simi, I was so hoping that we wouldn't be having this conversation. Unfortunately, things were incredibly fluid over the past 24 to 48 hours, more like 24 hours. Were you surprised that we've landed up where we've landed right now?
Well, I think that, first of all, everyone is very saddened that we're back in the situation that we are in. But unfortunately, I don't think that anyone is terribly shocked. First of all, important to keep in mind that up north, in the northern of Israel, the situation has been ongoing. Over 3 years, it's not really let up at all. Thankfully, in the southern sections and central areas of Israel, we have been feeling the return to normalcy, and that definitely was a shock and definitely a sad turn of events. But we are nonetheless resilient to face this latest round of attacks as well.
So, Simi, I mean, it's so unbelievably critical, the work that you at United Hatzalah does, specifically in times of war. I'm just wondering how on earth you gear up and prepare from a logistical perspective for such a change, from like 0 to 100 with no space between them. Are you ready for any eventuality?
So, yes. First of all, the benefit of United Hatzalah is that our volunteers and our medics are in the communities that they serve. So they are there anyway. That's where they live. That's where they work. That's where their center of life is. And so, therefore, they don't need to go anywhere specifically to respond. They don't have to change location. So they're there. They're on the ground. They know the community. And they are the lifeblood that provides United Hatzalah with its amazing response rate. The fact of the matter is that we have been continuously replenishing and maintaining the readiness, because we were all of the opinion that this was not just that when the ceasefire came about around a month and a half ago, it wasn't going to be the end of the situation, that we're going to still witness a resurgence of hostilities. So this is something that we're trained for, we're prepared for. We are very sad that we have to be back in the same situation, but we're prepared for it. And unfortunately, we are seeing that that need for that readiness and preparedness on an ongoing basis over the last 24 hours.
So talk to me a little bit, if you would, about the last 24 hours. What kind of incidents or calls have you received, or what stood out?
Well, up north, as I said, it has been, receiving calls about drone attacks and incoming missile attacks. Thankfully, most of those attacks have been intercepted. Most of those missiles have been intercepted, and therefore causing minimal damage. But that's only because we're so prepared, and we have such an amazing armed forces and strategic military that knows how to combat and to defend its citizens. The fact of the matter is that our preparedness and our readiness is not only for physical reaction to the incoming missile attacks, but also the psychological damages, and that is where we see the majority of the injuries are of the psychological kind. And the fact of the matter is that that's where our psychotrauma and crisis response unit has been in overdrive over the last 24 hours, really on the ground responding and being available not only to the civilian population but also to our first responders, who are experiencing this trauma no less than anyone else.
I want to get a sense of the day-to-day life currently that you're experiencing in Israel. I'm thinking specifically of schools, children, and the daily life that they're experiencing. What does the home front command? What instructions have they issued in respect of attendance of schools and the like?
Well, right now, all schools have been suspended for the last day of today. All the children were home. We're in the wind down month towards the end of school. It's June. It's summer is at knocking on the front door, and many of our kids are really it's so shameful for them because they haven't experienced a full school year experience really since Corona. But definitely in the last 3 years, school years have been interrupted and constantly truncated by these attacks and by these wars. So they are definitely suffering from that interruption to the daily life. And the adults and the parents amongst us, have to deal with that situation with kids being at home, not being able to go into the office, not being able to be as productive as many parents are finding when their kids are home.
I want to talk to you about Ben Gurion Airport because that's always quite an accurate barometer of where the country's at. What is the situation with Ben Gurion International Airport as at now?
Well, as far as I know, I'm not an expert on the Israeli aviation status, but I know that the Ben Gurion Airport is also subject to closures, just like everything else in Israel. The gathering of certain numbers of people are significantly limited, and therefore Ben Gurion Airport had to change its functionality to address all of these concerns. I know, for instance, I had a niece who was flying out of Israel last night, and she was on the way to an airport to the airport last night when all of this excitement started to happen, and it's very uncertain. The one, I guess, saving grace maybe is that Ben Gurion has been operating at a significant deficit because it's also doubling as a home for military, Air Force equipment for the United States Air Force. And so, therefore, not as many people have been traveling. Also, the fact of the matter is that we're continuously at war, and so people are hesitant to leave. They're afraid that they're going to get stuck out of Israel. Afraid they're not going to be able to get back in, easily. And so, I'm sure that that people are thinking twice and three times before scheduling their vacations or their trips out abroad.
As I was going to sleep last night, I'd followed Channel 12 news very, very closely, and all the missile salvos fired from Iran had been successfully shot down. I woke up, unfortunately, this morning to scrappy news here and there saying that one or two salvos actually, or one or two missiles had gotten through. Is there any significant physical damage on the grounds to buildings and infrastructure?
And not as far as I understand, most of the damage is from a missile that fell in open areas, open fields. But again, we're in the summer months. People are traveling, people are touring, people are hiking trails that are in the middle of the wilderness, those very locations where people aren't necessarily normally found, but during the summer months, they are there because that's the wonder of Israel. The fact of the matter is that people come seeking our nature trails, seeking our wilderness. And so even when a missile is said to have landed in open fields, we have to always be aware and be on the lookout for tourists and for hikers. That's actually one thing that United Hatzalah has been very, very influential in over the last during the last wars and even before that is our drone unit. United Hatzalah has a specialized drone unit that is specially equipped to survey large pieces of geographic area in order to locate and to assist people who might be stuck or might be wounded or might not have known that even that this danger has arisen because of lack of cellular coverage and the whatnot. So we have our staff and our volunteers and our drone operators are on overtime and then some
And then
to
some.
make sure that the Right.
No. Simi, last question for you, only because I'm running out of time, but I want to talk to you about your volunteers, because if you take a step back, you think these people must be some of the most remarkable people in the country. And I'm just kind of wondering, what in your opinion is it that keeps them showing up again and again and again and again?
You know what? It's a great question to ask. And I think the Jewish spirit of giving, of that concept of that we're all responsible for one another, mutual responsibility, these are the tenets of the Jewish people. This is what has accompanied us for 3,000 years and 2,000 years of exile. This is what is our life's blood, and why we've overcome such adversity over centuries and millennia, and why we will be, and why our enemies really have underestimated our resolve, the ability for men, women, and even younger, teenagers and young adults to understand that it's not only about me, it's about somebody else, somebody else's safety, somebody else's well-being, and I'm going to pull up my arm, my sleeves, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to not walk, not go slowly, but run into danger, run into the inferno to help save somebody else. It's a quality that we see amongst Jews really particularly, and is the reason why we are so successful, I believe.
Can't think of a better place to leave a discussion this afternoon. Simi Allen, spokesperson for United Hatzalah, thank you so much for your time this afternoon.